So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American first energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show Special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause.
And welcome in, everyone, to this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause. J. Doc, our post-election show today. Two great guests will be joining you for two full segments. So it'll be you with two guests for the full show today on this, the Labor and Energy Show, a timely show following the post-election. Liquid gold is coming to Pennsylvania, and I think that's part of what was part of the election results from Tuesday. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm good, Joe. Very tumultuous time in labor. We talk about that. We do have great guest Sean Steffi, business agent, Boilermakers Local 154, David Butterworth, business agent, Pipeliners Local 798, members of our Labor and Energy Board. So this is our post-election show, and one of the things we had. Several years back when Donald Trump won the first time was, I still remember that show, and we had Pat Iding and Rick Blumenthal on that show. And one line that Rick Blumenthal, who was the PA AFL-CIO president at the time, was that Labor's not a political party. So, in a lot of ways, you know, we got put in between a rock and a hard place. Okay. We have one political party that's been dictated by over the last several years by extreme environmentalists and, the other party that wants to have, that has extreme element that wants to put us out of business with our collective bargaining. And the answer is always in the middle. Okay. We've always crossed political, aisle, the political aisle, and we have supported. It's so important to do that. Okay, now more than ever, we need to do that and have common sense. Obviously, when it comes to our energy, this is the Labor and Energy Show. So when a lot of our union members work in the labor sector, in the energy sector, we have great employees and great employers, but it's a different area of labor. Okay, one thing about this area of labor, when you talk about energy, is it impacts everybody. And so I do think we got caught in the middle of that. I do think that, you know, there was a message sent in our energy sector and our energy security and our energy independence. People have to pay attention to that. Okay, and the importance, in Pennsylvania and across the country, we have, great energy sector who is very concerned with the environment and wants to do everything the right way. We have so many resources under our feet. We're here in Pennsylvania, got the Marcellus Shale. We need to work together to be able to bring our industry and maintain our energy industry, okay, keep our workers working, and at the same time work with environmentalists. But we can't let people dictate our energy policy. Fact of the matter is, and I have this saying, you can do what you want. We can't allow Hollywood elites to tell us what we should do. At the end of the day, you can do what you want, but you can't avoid the consequences. And here we are. And so it's about moving forward. We have a great show today. And I think you're going to see, that it's time to get engaged, work with everybody in the best way possible and move forward.
We spent a lot of time on this show, the Labor and Energy Show, with Jaydock and Krause, talking about EV mandates and everything else. Remember, you can listen to all of our programming on Apple or Spotify. Just search the Labor and Energy Show. We'll take a short commercial break. Jaydock back on the other side with two great guests for a full hour today of the Labor and Energy Show. Back in a moment.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the labor union community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show here on the Jacob Media Network. This is our post-election broadcast. I'm ecstatic to bring in Sean Steffi, business agent, Boilermakers Local 154, and David Butterworth, business agent, Pipeliners Local 798, both members of our Labor and Energy Alliance. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me today, J-Dog.
Thanks for having us, man.
It's a pleasure, guys. And I want to kind of start by, the election. So this is the Labor and Energy Show, okay? We talk about issues that impact not only our labor unions, but also our energy sector unions, okay, and our energy industry and everything that impacts it. This has been an extremely, confusing, but just an odd time, okay, because. Although Labor's not a political party, okay, in a sense, and this is before we get into anything, and we haven't talked, the three of us, since the election, but we, in my opinion, we've been put in between a rock and a hard place, okay? We have one party that in many ways is being dictated to by extreme environmentalists, and the other party with an extreme element that historically, okay, when I say extreme element, of course, the extreme right, that has historically wanted to put us out of business, stop our collective bargaining, potential, and so we're caught between in this situation, extremists on potential both sides. Okay, we have always had the ability to work both sides. It's not possible for us to represent labor without. Crossing the aisle last time, I remember it like it was yesterday. Okay. When Donald Trump won the first time. Okay. We brought our PA state labor leaders on, Rick Bloomingdale at the time, Pat Iding from Philadelphia. And that was the one thing I remembered Rick Bloomingdale saying. Well, labor, although historically Democratic supported and supportive of Democratic, we're not a political party, okay? I'm going to ask you both, if you will. I'll start with Sean since you're in PA. What are your, just general thoughts on what happened on Tuesday? Because it was a red wave that, crossed PA and the country. Kamala Harris lost the electoral votes. And the popular vote, okay. And we talk about PA. And what are your thoughts off the top of your head?
So for me, when Biden beat Trump, and there's no lie where I stood the last time, and it was 100% because of energy. And I think the people have spoken this time, and I think it's time to put it behind us and let's move on. Let's get the adults in the room, both party. And for me, everything that drives me politically is energy, because that's my job. And that's the future of my local. The Boilermakers were fossil fuel driven. And I want to do right by the environment, and I want to do right by, work and the energy producers. And I think it's time to move on, and let's look at the data that's for real, and let's do what we need to do with energy. And we've spoken about this. It's time. We got to move it to the next level. We got to become, energy independent. And we have to do it the right way. And let's face it, what we have coming in, like in a new industrial revolution, is this AI and data centers. I don't know nothing about AI and data centers, but I do know how to build power plants. And the gas people know how to produce natural gas. They know how to produce, to transport it through pipelines. And it's time to get the business, make America where it needs to be economically, and especially the potential for Pennsylvania. And I think it's going to happen. And I just think everybody needs to take a step back. And let's do what's right for everybody, especially in Pennsylvania and economy. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There's three legs on that stool. Energy is one of them. And we got to move forward right now.
David, if you would, in your neck of the woods, talk about your perspective on what happened on Tuesday.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not the most political guy. I'm like you described earlier. I feel a little stuck in the middle. One party wants to do one thing, one wants to do the other. And I'm ready. I'm just like Sean. I'm ready for common sense to prevail. I'm ready for, we are so blessed in America to have this energy under our feet. And our grid has been strained That is one thing that I always talk about. Grid reliability is a major issue. You got PJM, the grid system, saying we're dangerously close all the time. So I'm still for all the above energy. If folks want us to bring emissions down, we can do that through fossil fuels or nuclear or however you want to do it. But I'm with Sean. Let's move forward. Let's forget about the past. Let's do what's right for the American people. Let's do what's right for our country and our states, my state of West Virginia and PA. We're very similar in energy production. And this is getting to where it's above politics at this point. The demand for energy is growing exponentially. I tell my members that all the time. When they get upset about, you know, the work slowing down and things like that, I'm just like, listen, it's coming. Now, if the demand was flat, I would be very, very worried, but the demand is not flat. We're populating the earth. The AI is coming on quick as you can imagine. It's coming. So, I mean, we're already expanding some pipelines down in DC for AI and data center demand. So I think, to be honest with you, where we're at in the energy world is really above politics at this point. And, I just look forward to us using I want to see more bipartisanship and reaching across the aisle and getting things done for the good of the American people.
And no question about it, especially right now. Sean, you said something, you said something about, you know, the common sense. And I think you too, David, we've been talking about that on this program for years. And I do think we're educating a lot of people. And it's so important because that's where the answers are. And like, you know, we talked about, Sean, you're hunting right now in the environment. It's so important. I know it's important to you, Dave, and all of our members. But tell you what, guys, before we move on, though, let's Sean, if you would remind our listeners, OK, obviously who you are, who your members are, what the scope of your work, what you guys do, where is work. So they have an understanding. Both of you guys are in unions and represent members that are obviously part of labor and our construction industry, but also major impact on the environment, energy sectors. So, Sean, if you would, and then David, if you would.
So, of course, I'm Sean Stevy. I'm with the Boilermakers out of Pittsburgh, level 154. I'm also the acting president of the South Central Building Trades towards the middle of the state, Indiana, Cambria, Blair, Huntington, Fulton counties. And, that's big energy. And as Boilermakers, you know, we build and maintain coal, gas, nuclear power plants, petrochemical plants. And I really don't have any stake in the renewables. There's no need for a Boilermaker on a solar farm. And, you know, and like we spoke earlier, the data doesn't lie. Just like he said on the PJM, it's not lying. So it's time to let's move forward. As far as the environment goes, I love the environment. I want to do right by it, and we can do both. We can put, you know, men into outer space. We sure to hell can use our fossil fuels and do it environmentally right.
And having said that, what we've said a million times, environmentally right is a priority to us. So we never turn a blind eye to that. Okay. Having said that, if you would, David, talk about, you know, who you are and who your members are, what your scope of work is and your jurisdiction.
We cover 42 states. I cover the Northeast for Pipeliners Local 798, where, you know, a lot of your locals can work in different sectors, whether it be heavy highway or whatever. But as far as it, I mean, pipelines are all we have and that's all we do. And, you know, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary here. We've been around for a long time now and we move molecules across the country and safely as efficiently as anybody. And I truly believe the pipelines are the safest and most efficient way to move molecules across the country. And that's proven, just like the data we're talking about with with the emissions. The fossil fuels has dropped emissions, whether people want to realize it or not. So, but basically, I'm the Northeast agent for Pipeliner Local 798. And if there's a union pipeline job going on around the country, it very well could be us doing the work. So,
and so, believe it or not, I mean, I'm not the, you know, the most politically, you know, focused person all day and all night long. Obviously, you know, you can't help but, you know, after, you know, a lot of our issues, especially labor, one of the things we all talk about across the board is if you don't have a seat at the table, you're typically on the menu. Okay. And that goes for labor and energy. Okay. This particular, our organization is obviously we're part of labor, but so we can't avoid, you know, the consequences of what happened. I want to kind of talk about, you know, what happened in a sense. Okay. We don't have to get into all the races or anything like that, but, Sean, you know, one of the, you know, common sense has been such a big part of our conversation, David as well. You know, what message do you think was sent, Sean, during, you know, when you look at the results of the election? Like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, we've always talked about common sense and great solutions because we all care. But extremism has ruled a big part of, you know, what's going on with our Democratic Party. Okay. And, you know, a lot of times we got into this when it hit PBS refinery here in Philadelphia. Okay. One fire in one out of 33 units, and they shut the whole thing down. And individuals that were coming in from all over the country into our neighborhoods, right where the refinery was, where our community worked at the refinery, never had any issues, but they spoke so loud, okay, that when I called a lot of our political leaders, when we talked about it on air, all those things, it was crickets, man. We could not get anything, okay? And in a sense, we were bullied, okay? And you know, a lot of our workers and you know, our community were impacted huge. Okay. And since I said, you know, like we've been, you know, kind of impacted by extremists on both sides, you know, it's been taking an incredible toll. Talk about that and what happened and, you know, this mandate that happened on Tuesday, specifically in our energy sector. Okay. Cause that's where we are. What was the impact, Sean?
Me personally, this is what I think. I think the people, the American people, whether you were rural, suburban, in the city, whatever, it didn't matter. They wanted to move forward, and the price of, you know, groceries and gas and heating and insurance and inflation, they just said, we got to have a change. And I think that the extremists got way too powerful, and they were making political points that was affecting the majority of Americans. And I, you know, like Dave, I agree with him. I don't even know how energy became so political. It's something that we absolutely need and we absolutely must have. And yet we were like, you know, cutting our nose off to spite our own face. And I just think that people want a change. If Donald Trump's the answer, you know, hey, I don't like everything he does, but I do like a lot of his policies. I definitely like his energy policies. And, you know, I'm a union guy. I like everything that the Democratic Party stands with the union. So I'm like, Dave, I'm caught in the middle. You know, I bleed for my union, but I also got to have a job to bleed for. And I just think the American people want to change. I think the people of Pennsylvania want to change. And I think they miscalculated just how many people rely on the energy industry in Pennsylvania to support their family and the great family sustaining jobs that energy provides, both union and non-union. And I think they spoke, and I think that was one of the big things in Pennsylvania.
Dave, your thoughts?
Well, I come from West Virginia, which is the second reddest state in the country. And so, to be honest with you, I'm inundated with one side where I live. And I try to, I'm a big proponent of a third party because of the fringes. They've always, they've, and I think it's social media, 24-hour news has allowed the fringes to get so loud, for lack of a better word, that the parties have had to listen to them. And I think the fringes on both sides have tainted both parties' agendas. But I think what happened on Tuesday might wake some people up within the parties and say, listen, hey, the people have spoken, and maybe we should start listening to the middle of the road folks that are moderate, that just want to get things done in this country for the good of the American people. We can all agree here that the demand for energy is growing. Our technology, the way we live, the genie's out of the bottle. We can't put the genie back in the bottle and go back to the way things were in you know, pre-1920s and the Industrial Revolution and all that. We have to adapt and we have to innovate. That's the whole thing here. You know, you can put labels on fossil and all these different types of fuels, but through innovation, just like he said, we put people on the moon. Through innovation, we can drop emissions. If people want to drop emissions, we can do that, and we can do it through an all-the-above energy approach. And I do think that the extremes of both parties is what led to what happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's amazing because there was a lot, you know, a lot going on, okay? And I have a saying, and that is, you can do and say whatever you want, but you can't avoid the consequences, okay? And a lot of these, you know, rich billionaires that are shoving things down, you know, all of our throats. Okay. And I look at labor like we got caught in the middle. Okay. Just, you know, like Sean, you just said, and they could control a lot of things, but they can't control people going in the voting booth. Okay. And the outcome, you know, and there was, you know, a lot of casualties and in a lot of ways, a lot of people who really are moderates and who care about common sense stuff got caught in the middle. You talk about educating the public. Like Dave, you just said, the cat's out of the bag. Okay. Well, we've been on the radio for a few years, you know, now, and with the Labor and Energy Show, in 10 years with the Labor Show in the Philadelphia region and this on the East Coast region. And we've talked about, Sean, how many times we talk about Reggie, we talk about RINs, the RFS, okay, EV mandates, okay, not, you know, obviously permitting reform. You mentioned, David, about how safe it is, the pipelines. Okay, I love the Teamsters and, you know, a great truck drivers. And of course, we have all types of forms of transportation. But the fact of the matter is that pipelines are the safest form of transporting, our fossil fuels. And so, permitting reform, issues like that, extreme situations that make it impossible for common sense things to go on. And I do think that, you mentioned the cat is out of the bag. People understand. You talk about the grid. We're in the industry, so we, obviously we have direct communications, throughout our industry and the grid and all those things. But, you know, regular people don't typically talk about the grid at their dinner table, but they are now.
Yeah.
Okay. And so people are getting educated. And the cat's out of the bag. We talked about the pollsters, guys. We've had shows with pollsters on, and they talk about EV mandates, electric vehicle mandates. We're all supportive of electric vehicles. We'd like to get some things straightened out over in the Congo with a lot of the child labor and all those things. But if we wanted to bring the critical mineral mining back here, we couldn't do it because the permitting reform, on a wide scale, it takes 10 years to do those things. Okay. But pollsters have interviewed people. People are for electric vehicles. Okay. But when they find out about mandates, they've actually expressed themselves. So expressed and said, we're not, you know, there's more important, you know, issues that we got to deal with. This is not important. Talk about the people being educated, guys. David, talk about the cat being out of the bag.
Well, let me try to think of a better way to put this. Permitting reform, you keep saying that, and that's why I can't get my mind off of. Yeah. That is our key to unlocking the gate. Because I went through a lot of issues with pipeline projects being started and then shut down, restarted, and then scrapped. Okay. This was during the time where maybe we were going a little bit too aggressive with the environmentalists. I will say going forward, I would like to see it. Now, a lot of the environmentalists don't want to listen to what you have to say, but for those that will listen to us, I would like for us to see, to be able to educate instead of maybe force something down people's throats. But permitting reform has to happen because the courts, the lower courts, can still malign a project. We have to get certainty back in these projects to where they can get started and they can get finished and it can be done for the good of the American people.
Sean, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about some of the, you know, the plants that have been shut down and not started. Okay. And communities, entire communities that were devastated, you know, openly devastated because of it, because of extreme movements, you know, outside the region. Okay. And like you said, I'd love to see us work with environmentalists and have a great working relationship, a win-win. But to spend 5 years and millions of dollars on studies and all those things only to get shut down, people are sick of it. Let's do this. Let's take a quick, we'll get Sean's thoughts on that in just a minute. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
Welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. We're talking about a lot of the before we went to the break, we're talking about permitting reform and the importance of a lot of our big projects and working together with environmentalists. But Sean, let's talk about that, because you and I have talked about a lot of the projects that have been, you know, operating plants that have been shut down, and also the project last year that devastated an entire community. I mean, it looked like a funeral after that. They finally had to pull out of that plant. Talk about that particular situations and situations like that.
So here's my opinion on this, and I don't know if anybody will agree or disagree, but I really think anybody in the energy industry was going to agree with me. So this goes for Pennsylvania. We're sitting on, I think, like 15 mega brownfield sites. These are like old industrial sites, power plants like Homer City. We had new sites picked out to build the new gas plant, Renova. These are game changers for these communities and the rural counties. So right now, we are challenged with again, artificial intelligence, data centers, and just basic electricity needs to be able to make it happen. And whether anybody likes it or not, renewables ain't going to cut it. Nuclear is 10 to 20 years out. And right now, these things need immediate attention. They have an unsatiable appetite for electricity. And they need reliable electricity. Whether anybody likes it or not, natural gas is the answer. We're not going to build housing developments at old coal-fired facilities, but we sure in the hell can build out new natural gas facilities, and people like Dave can build pipelines to these facilities, and the people in the gas industry are ready to produce energy, gas. We can take this and on a little footprint, build 1,000 megawatts and have it done in 20 to 30 months and ready to put power there, and we don't need thousands and thousands of acres of solar and wind. It's unreliable. I'm not against it, but let's just be real. The data doesn't lie. It can't cut the mustard, okay? So we can dominate this new industrial revolution in artificial intelligence, and that's what your tech giants want and need. And we can grow the economy in these rural communities again and, you know, pay into the school districts and the taxes and create ripple effect jobs and create great jobs. And this is the way it's got to go, in my opinion. And I don't know what we're waiting for, but we environmental groups and environmentalists shouldn't be the ones setting up energy policy. Okay. I don't want to be nasty with them, but you know, their word is not what should be done in this industry, okay? And I kind of consider them, they're a little bit like Amish. You're going to laugh. But on Sunday, the Amish are driving around in their horse and buggy, acting like they're not using anything modern. And then on Monday morning, there's 15 of them loaded in an F-350 with all state-of-the-art power tools and going to build, and they all got cell phones. Environmentalists want to claim, hey, we got to cut back. But they're enjoying every luxury of what reliable electricity provides them and the byproducts. So, come on, let's cut to the chase. Let's get it done. Let's do what we need to do. Do it the right way. And we can build out, like Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio. This window is open. And right now, with Trump winning, these states like Ohio and West Virginia, the green light's on for them and the opportunities. It's going to be up to Pennsylvania to take this opportunity and move with it. And I feel we have more potential. We have all these places like old coal-fired plants that have the energy infrastructure. They have the transmission lines. They have access for pipelines. They got all the acreage and water to put these data centers on. And if we're going to do that, if we're going to pick up manufacturing and we're going to succeed in AI, this is the route we got to go. And I think it's time for these tech people to come out of the renewable closet and admit that we got to use natural gas to start phasing out our coal. And the coal needs to be there too, because we're not going to be able to phase it out quick enough. And this is the path we have to take, and I'll be curious to see what Dave has to say.
Dave, your thoughts?
I agree. I agree that the environmentalists should not be setting policy, but I also agree that we need to be careful. And everything Sean just said, we can't do any of this without permitting reform, because what happens, and I went through this, what happens is the environmentalists hire lawyers and then they sue the agencies. Okay. Well, in that Chevron case just gave more power to the courts. So the courts aren't going anywhere. And a lot of the courts are environmentalist friendly. So until we pass a law that takes power away from the courts, every time an environmentalist wants to sue, then we're still spinning our wheels, guys. And I hate to keep hammering on permitting reform, but I do think that is the answer, end all be all. We can't do the build out until we get permitting reform, because those circuit courts are still around that will still malign a project. They'll say they didn't do the study right. And you need to go back and do the study again. And that sometimes, like with Mountain Valley, that lasted. The first shutdown started in 2018, and we didn't get it done until 2023. And that was all due to the court system and the environmental lawyers. And then but you got to find a way around that. And that's permitting reform is the only thing that I see that'll get us around that.
That's what shut down the Renova job. 8 years in court, they finally said enough. No gas plant. That community's devastated. So the environmentalists come in and do victory lap and they leave. They'll never be back to Renova, Pennsylvania again, unless somebody wants to build there.
Right. I'm looking at the article on the Renova plant. That's what I was referring to. And Sean, you actually sent it to me, you know, back when it occurred. Back in 2023, when they finally, dropped it, okay, it was so devastating to that community. When I put message, in a sense, when it comes to Pennsylvania, okay, one of the things that you're passionate about, Sean, is obviously having the governor get behind, more aggressively, our energy endeavors. What message do you hope, or at least do you think that the election in Pennsylvania gone, red under his watch? What message do you think that sends? And by the way, we know it wasn't all because of energy, but energy is a huge example. Okay, and it's something that impacts our lives every day. We've had so many issues with Reggie and all those things. What message do you hope it sends to the governor in regards to at least extreme measures that have been set that have been launched to shut these projects down?
I personally think that Governor Shapiro is a very intelligent individual. I think he's a gifted politician, and I think he's smart enough to know that if he is going to build Pennsylvania out with an economy and a future of tech and data centers and AI, that he's going to take advantage of the natural gas under his state, and we got to start building out power plants. Now, we want to do it right. But I think he knows that he's either going to have to make a choice. Is the environmentalist going to bring people to the state of Pennsylvania and produce, tens of thousands of great-paying jobs? Or is energy going to come into Pennsylvania and grow to be a giant, a mega in the Northeast? And I think he knows what that answer is. And I think he's going to have to make a real decision moving forward here. And me personally, I think you're going to see him move forward on building out energy infrastructure, data centers. I think he will go with the all-the-above energy strategy. And I think he's going to tell the environmental groups it's time to back it off a little bit. We all need to come together as people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and build it out. That's my wish. That's my hope as a Boilermaker because I'm ready to build it. I don't know a damn thing about artificial intelligence. But I sure in the hell know how to build power plants. And he's going to need us, and I want to grow my local. And just like Dave knows how to build pipelines, and the Marcellus Shale gas people know how to produce gas. I think that we're ready, and he's going to have to move quickly. And if he doesn't, I think we're going to get left behind in the dust.
Dave, talk about, in your neck of the woods, like you mentioned, West Virginia, the second highest red state in the country, but you guys still go through it. On how does the impact of what happened across the country, okay, and of course with Trump's victory, okay, and it was a mandate. How does that impact your neck of the woods?
Well, my neck of the woods is going to be my neck of the woods. It's I think Trump got 70% in West Virginia. that's pretty significant. So that's not going to change anytime soon. Something that we're missing and Pennsylvania is missing is we can help the world. with Pennsylvania gas. That's something with the LNGs. We haven't mentioned that. That is a, you know, we're mentioning the AI and the data centers within the country.
Sure.
But what, why can't we build a LNG terminal at Marcus Hook? I mean, why can't we do that? It's an industrial complex. It's not hurting anything. And, you know, it's all going through the Gulf right now. And that's, yeah, we're helping our allies out around the world, but it's a lot quicker to get it there for out of Philly than it is from the Gulf Coast. So there's another opportunity for Pennsylvania right there as far as the LNGs goes. But to answer your question about West Virginia is, we've been this way, I think, starting around 2000. We were the bluest state around 2000. Now we're the reddest state. And a lot of people say the party left them and yada, yada, yada. And I think there is some of that. But, you know, to be honest with you, the social justice issues are a big reason why I think West Virginia is so red. And quite frankly, I wish she hadn't have done it when Hillary Clinton jumped out there and said she was going to put coal miners out of business. That's really when it went in the tank. I mean, it just drove a nail in the coffin. So that's my best way to answer that.
Let's talk about jobs. Okay. Jobs are our life's blood. Okay. Your members, Sean, have gone through all kinds of tough times and traveling all over the country. Okay. I mean, in Alaska, for crying out loud. Talk about what spirit is after the election on Tuesday and what their sense is of optimism when it comes to, you know, listen, you guys work in the energy sector. Have you had conversations with any of your members based upon, the future? Talk about that.
So my members are very well educated. And they understand what they do for a living and what they're building. And they also understand what's going on throughout the whole country because they're working throughout the whole country. So a good, talking point is this fall, you know, the Boilermakers have a most line for jobs throughout the country. We were 800 Boilermakers short throughout the country at other jobs in other states, red states, blue states. We weren't short in Pennsylvania. Usually we're looking for people to come to the state of Pennsylvania and work. Our guys are leaving. They want to come back. They feel right now that the time has come where the pendulum is swayed, that we're going to start, you know, working out of Pennsylvania, and hopefully we can start recruiting apprentices. I haven't taken a new apprentice in 3 years. 3 years, not one new apprentice. And we need to start, you know, educate and training the next generations of, you know, Boilermakers. And that goes for everybody in the trades. They've had to listen to so much like that. It's a dying industry. It's not. We need them. And these are skilled men and women that work in this industry. And I said this before, they're not spot welding fenders on their tricycles in a plant. They're doing high skilled labor, just like Dave does and his men and women. And I think moving forward is going to be a positive. And I do believe that it's going to turn around and we're going to get on the right track, but there's no time to waste. Time is of the essence and we need to get on it right now. And we need to start recruiting, bringing new young members in, men and women, and get them trained by the older ones that we have left in the business and bring it home to Pennsylvania. That's where Local 154 has been around for 130 years. Like Dave said, his people, 75, 130 years we've been here, and we want to be here another 130 years. But we got to be able to put members to work.
Let me ask, one of the things in labor that over the last 4 years that we have enjoyed that Biden brought to the table was a pro-labor president who, obviously we've had our issues with energy, but, you know, labor wasn't, organized labor wasn't a four-letter word, okay? We've had people organizing across the country you know, that may not have been in the construction trades. But the whole sentiment of organized labor has been positive. Where do we go from here in regards to, you know, continuing to promote the positivity of organized labor, the quality of our work, obviously the safety, you know, especially, by the way, at the plants, okay, and at the pipelines, the quality, the safety, the benefits and all those things. How do we maintain that in a world just in general that doesn't historically promote organized labor? Let me ask David first.
I think we need to continue to do what we're doing. I mean, we've been we're actually ramping up a new apprenticeship program. We did that to get out ahead of the carbon capture work, which is going to, you know, this is some of that came from the one of the bills that Biden passed. I can't recall exactly which one it was. So we've been ramping up, getting ready for all of the things that that President Biden brought forth, and you know, the CHIPS and Science Act. I got a lot of sister locals working on those plants right now. You know, we need to build our chips here in America, and you know, we may have been a little bit maligned with the Biden administration over energy because they were trying to bring on an all the above energy approach, but that's okay too. I just hope going forward that the new administration coming in understands that we still need to build our chips here. We still need to, you know, the carbon capture and sequestration industry is there's going to be a lot of good coming out from that. Hydrogen fuels, other, we need to keep on that track. The innovation track is what we need to keep on, no matter who's president. And we need to keep training our members to where nobody can say anything. If you're the best at what you do, and you do it better and more safe than anybody else, you're going to be fine in this world. So I just think we need to continue. Like, I'm at every function I can be at. I go to every public hearing I can be at. Just like you said, you know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. We need to continue to do that to keep labor's name where it needs to be. And here's the thing. Quite frankly, the old days are over with. We got to be more businesslike. We need to be more professional. We need to be better trained, more highly skilled, and that will lead to success.
Sean, do you want to comment on that? And I want to also, before you do, though, Sean, I want to say this. With our Labor and Energy Initiative, next Friday we're going to have a meeting, and it's our periodic meeting, and we're launching a whole new educational rally series, okay, where we're amping it up, okay? You know, like you talked about, where, you know, we have to amp things up now more than ever, okay, because we can't forget that we're union workers, and still always, if we don't watch ourselves, you know, our collective bargaining rights, you know, are always under attack and those particular things. So I agree with you, David. You got to keep pushing, you know, the narrative and you know, technology and all those things. Sean, jump in there.
Sure. So our training centers in labor is state of the art. Our instructors are top of the food chain. We have moved with the times, and everything that needs to happen in the future, we're right on top of it. You know, new state of the art weld machines, new state of the art welding procedures. We're ready to go. My problem was, I don't have no work in Pennsylvania. I got plenty of work throughout the rest of the country, but why train apprentices in Pennsylvania if I say, hey, you're going to have to go to New Mexico to go to work, or you're going to have to go to, you know, Ohio. You know, we should be doing that in Western PA, and that's what I want to see turn around. I think that moving forward that we have had a presence. I see Dave at all the functions. We're all highly involved in everything from the hydrogen to carbon capture. And my problem is we need to hear some announcements. We need to say, hey, here's the job projected in 2026. We're going to start, and this is what we're going to need. So I can go recruit and say, look, here's the work that's coming. And I don't need jobs to keep getting canceled like Renova, the one in Allegheny County. I don't need plants to keep shutting down. I need to show positivity to new members and the members that I'm still representing. And I think that is a big thing moving forward. I think that people like Dave, myself, and the rest of us, we're at all these functions. We're ready. We're involved. And I think that our opinions matter. We work in the industry. And I think people need to start listening to us. I'm talking about political figures, and I'm talking about environmentalists. I've listened to them. I work with them, but I can't keep drowning us out. They got to start listening to what we have to say.
Dave, if you would, closing comments based upon what Sean just said, taking the landscape as it is. I know you're in a red state, but nationally speaking, is this a time for us to try to reach, both aisles, okay? And try to, we're crossing the aisle when it comes to the Republicans, but really taking things to the next level so that we can have common sense approach and cooperation as we move forward.
Yeah, it's going to take that. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but this permitting reform is going to take a bipartisan effort. And if that doesn't get okay, just like Sean's talking about all the stuff that's been shut down up there, that stuff will continue to get shut down if we don't fix it on the federal level. It's got to get fixed. There's people aren't investing now because they're afraid of their project being shut down. That's the golden ticket here. But it's going to take a bipartisan effort. And I think as labor leaders, we don't need to be looking at R or D. We need to be looking at what, and I tell my members this all the time. I don't focus on social justice issues. That's my own personal views. That's my own personal opinion. But I focus on things that are going to put you to work. And I can guarantee you, me and Sean Steffi will continue to work, focus on things that's going to try to put our members back to work. And it's going to be in a bipartisan fashion because it's not going to work along party lines because we're just talking about the divides. We've been talking about it all day. I told a politician down here in West Virginia, I won't name him. He's an R. And I said, I hope that you will always do what's best for working people, no matter what it does to you and your standing in the party. I hope that Joe Manchin did it. Joe Manchin did it, and we need more politicians like him going forward that are going to do what's right for the American people, not what's best for the party.
Gentlemen, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on this show. I know, knew that no matter what the outcome was, we were going to need individuals, to be straightforward with our listeners and to paint the picture as it is. Sean Steffi, business agent, Boilermakers Local 154. David Butterworth, business agent, Pipeliners Local 798. Okay. Can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, J-Doc. Have a good one. Let's go. Ready to move forward.
Let's do it, gentlemen. We'll have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. Today's program has been pre-recorded. Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
Man, that's going to do it for this edition of the Labor and Energy Show with Jaydock and Krause. Shout out to Sean Steffi, who stepped away from hunting today, a little bow hunting for Sean. So great job. And also a shout out to David Butterworth, who had to go through some downloading of Google Chrome just to make sure we were able to connect with him in West Virginia. Great show today, Jaydock. We have about 35 seconds left. And I'll give it all to you before we wrap everything up.
Yeah, of course. I want to thank David and Sean as well for being fantastic guests. You know, listen, this is a time for us all to come together, okay, to establish our plan, our campaign, come together as a labor and energy, you know, industry, okay, and to work in the best interest of the people. You and I have said it many times, okay, energy. Okay, it's not a union issue. It's not a political issue. At least it shouldn't be. It's a human issue. Okay? And if we go on those lines and we all work together and there's common sense and energy, which Joe Krause, you and I have talked about a lot, everything will be just fine.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Labor and Energy Show. We thank everybody for tuning in and being a part of the live program. Until next time, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs. This program is paid for by the Labor and Energy Alliance. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Labor and Energy Alliance or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.